Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Belinda just mentioned we celebrated Good Shepherd Sunday. And today we have another one of the I Ams of Jesus, and that is Jesus the true wine, though we do not have a Sunday dedicated to the true wine. So let's dedicate this Wednesday to Jesus the true wine Wednesday. Okay, because the teaching is from John 15. We are in the series L for this month. Last week, we heard a teaching on loving your enemies by Carlos. This evening, we have a verse from John 15, 12, and we will see it up on the screen. The verse is, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." This is the theme verse, the key verse for today. But I would like to take into account all the verses that are there in this section. Yeah, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." John 15, my dear brothers and sisters, is a very celebrated chapter in the Gospels and very dear and very central to our prayer group. And this chapter can be grouped into three sections. The first one, from verses 1 to 11, our relationship with Christ. Verses 12 to 17, our relationship with man, and that is our focus this evening. And 18 to 27, to proclaim the good news. Now, watch within the passage that we have, verses 12 to 17, we see different images of Jesus. Jesus, the lover, verses 12, it says, "Love one another as I have loved you." Jesus, the friend, "I call you friends." Jesus, the brother, "I've told you everything I've heard from the Father. If God is our Father, then Jesus is our brother." Jesus, the intercessor, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Jesus, the missionary, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain." And finally, Jesus, the master, "This is command, love one another." Only a Lord and Master, my dear brothers and sisters, can give a command. If you read the gospel according to John and his letters, the one phrase that he is repeating continuously like a stuck cassette is "love one another." John was 90 years of age when he wrote this gospel. He was frail and he was carried all over the place by his followers. And at the meetings, he told them only one thing: love one another, love one another. Guma firake, he used this phrase anywhere and everywhere. If I was present at that time, I would have told him, "Chacha, aage bolo." And guess what his response would be? "Itna karo bas." His response would be, "Itna karo bas." And yes, that is absolutely right. The gospel, the Bible, is all about doing good to others. Nothing else matters. For those who do not understand this Hindi slang, just do this, it's enough. And that is what this gospel is all about. And that is what the word of God is all about. So why was he so stuck up with this word love? If you see the gospel of John, I did not search the net for how many times this word love is being used. But there's something beautiful I saw about John. John, if you read from the earliest chapters of the Gospel of John, you will come to know that he was the beloved disciple of Jesus, the disciple Jesus loved most. Who was this other disciple? It was none other than John. The other disciple reached the tomb first. Who was it on the resurrection day? It was John. He leaned on the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper, my dear brothers and sisters. He did not feel it awkward to lean on the chest of Jesus. Yes, He leaned on the chest of Jesus, the sacred and sweet heart of Jesus, the fount of love and mercy. John is referred to as the leaning disciple. And so he received so much love from the Lord. He is listed as the youngest disciple and the last to die. Probably he lived to be 100 years old, most probably 90s or 100 years old. So John, you see, he was even at the foot of the cross with Mary. While all others deserted, John was at the cross. And what were Jesus' words? He told him, "This is your mother." And he told his mother, "This is your son." So you can see the tremendous love the Lord had for John and John's love for the Lord, even at the cross when all the other apostles deserted. Something similar to the love Mary, Martha's sister, had for the Lord. She sat at the feet of Jesus. John leaned on the chest of Jesus. Now think of it. After a person has received so much love from the Lord, where can he let it go? He cannot store it. It has to flow out. It had to flow out from Jesus. It had flowed into him, and he had nothing else to do but to pour out that love, spread that love. So his entire gospel is soaked in the word love, starting from God so loved the world. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, this passage, this chapter is very important to us, and I cannot speak about love in the context of loving one another without even referring to the first part of our relationship with Christ. We all know this in the first passage. We have read it so many times. The Father is the wine dresser. Jesus is the true wine, and we are the fruitful branches. Mind you, I have put over there as fruitful branches, not just branches. So we cannot look at this passage of ours today, our key verse today, without referring to this. John 15:9 tells us, from where does Jesus' love come? "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." So where does Jesus receive his love? He receives it from the Father. And with that same love, Jesus loves you and me, my dear brothers and sisters. Now, how does this love flow into us? The last words, which I have colored in yellow. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. And this is key to our teaching. Without abiding, without cleaving, without becoming one with Jesus, we will never receive the love of Jesus to love our brothers and sisters. The sap flowing from the Father to the Son to Jesus will flow into us, and only then we will be able to partake, we will be able to fulfill our mission that is given to us in our key verse, loving one another. Now, how do we receive this? How do we abide in Christ? Last Sunday's reading, I was so happy and glad, and I thank the Lord, for he showed how really we can abide in the Lord. It says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." Those who partake in the Eucharist abide in Jesus. The very muscle and cell of Jesus that we receive in Holy Communion, we become one with Jesus. And that's when we receive his love and we are able to do what he does, what he is expecting us to do. We cannot do as a separate stand-alone branch. And this is very, very important, my dear brothers and sisters, to partake by eating the flesh and blood and abiding in Jesus. Coming to our verse, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, who can give a commandment but God alone? So here we can see the divinity of Jesus. God is commanding us. A commandment is an instruction or a command to be followed without looking left or to the right or with a squint eye. You have to toe the line. It is from an authority. But now when it comes to love, how can you command or demand love from someone? These are opposites. Love cannot be commanded or demanded. There has to be some affection to love a person. But this is the point I want to make, my dear brothers and sisters, this evening, that in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of our weaknesses and failures, Jesus loves us. Yes or no? Do you agree with me? Let me have a wave of hands from you. Do you experience the love of Jesus? Then if you and I have been loved so much by Jesus, then where is the question of an emotion? Jesus is not going by emotions. He just loves you and me the way we are. With our human nature, it is not possible to love any person. However good you may be, however good I may be, one way or the other, our faults will show up. But by abiding in the vine, we allow the grace of God to flow into us and out of us to the other. There is no other way. I repeat, there is no other way. The grace, the sap has to flow from Jesus into us and from us into the other person. So now if you and I claim to be followers of Christ, if we claim that we abide in the vine and in the word, it becomes natural that we love one another. But what does the Bible say to us? Those who say, I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So the only change, what is this love that we are talking of? Now, what is this love that we are referring to? This love, if you read the Greek language, is agape. Now, in English language, we have only one word, love, and close words are attraction, affection. But the love that I am referring to in our teaching and the teachings that are there and the word that is there in the Bible is agape love. That is the unconditional, steadfast, eternal love of God. It never changes, no matter what. It is only when we sin, we will experience a lowness of his love because sin has constricted that flow of grace into our lives. But when we confess our sins, we open up the channel and the love of God flows into our lives. So God loves us unconditionally. The only variable is our sin. And so we need to be careful. If I go to God with a spoon, how much love will I receive? Only a spoonful. If I go with a glass, I will receive only a glassful. If you go with a drum, you will receive a drumful. So the ball is in our court with how we approach Jesus. So this love is very, very important. Now, how can I explain this love? Okay, St. Paul gives us this answer in 1 Corinthians 13. You can take down this verse and you can read it later from verse 4 following. Okay. I'm sure you have read this verse many times. Yeah. Love is patient. Love is kind. And I'm not going to read it. You all know it. And you also know, okay. Now I know you are what you are thinking. You're already preparing yourself and saying, I know what Titus is going to do next. No. Wait. Let's not jump. I want you to replace this word love with Jesus. Replace every word of love in this passage with the word Jesus. Jesus is patient. Anybody disputes that? Jesus is kind. Anybody has any questions? Love is not envious. Jesus is not envious or boastful or arrogant. Anybody again having anything to say against it? No. So you see, this is what that love Jesus is talking about. Agape love, the unconditional love. Once in the Bible, when we were having Bible class, I told the people, I said, we'll do a very simple exercise. Okay, a very simple exercise. All you have to do is, you will not say no to anyone who comes to you for the next 1 week. What is this exercise? You will not say no, okay, to anyone. Of course, if he's going to break a commandment or doing something illegal, that's not the case. I'm talking who approaches you for help. You will not say no. And I got a feedback the following week from a few students, and they said, it's not possible. We cannot live without saying no. We always will say no. But I'll leave the challenge to you and I say, you try it. Okay, now that we have put the name of Jesus, now let's put our name. Titus is patient. Titus is kind. Titus is not envious or boastful or arrogant. You can come home and ask my family members and they will tell you the true story. Okay. I want to run away from this. This is not my cup of tea. Very difficult. I cannot be patient. I'm getting impatient by the day. Kindness is failing me. Okay. I'm feeling boastful and arrogant. I see all those things. I'm seeing the works of the flesh manifest in me instead of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But this is the love God is demanding from us. This is the love Jesus has. This is the love Jesus has given to us. And this is the love we have to give to one another. In the same chapter, John 13, he says, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should. Now look at that. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. See the number of times the word love is mentioned. This is John for you, my dear brothers and sisters. As I have loved you, okay? In the verses we read at the start, no greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You know the sacrificial love of Jesus. The height and the width and the depth of his love was shown on the cross for us. We know about this. I do not need to explain that to you. As I was preparing this talk, a teaching from the Old Testament, Isaiah 1 came to mind. And you know, when we love someone, we come forward with gifts. We give them, we shower them with gifts. And here is God, you know, the Jewish people, the people of Israel came forward to God and they were showering gifts on God as offerings. But look what God says, when you come to appear before me, who asked you this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. Huh? God loves us. We love God. And God is saying, no, I don't want all these things. All these things, externals, I am not interested. Then what are you interested in, God? Verse 17 tells us, learn to do good. Okay, I've not put it up over there, but those who want Isaiah 1, chapter 1, verse 17. Learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Service to mankind, my dear brothers and sisters. The Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. Jesus did not come and say, I am the Son of God. Now you all have to serve. No. He bent down and he washed the feet of his apostles. He did that. And this is what he's expecting from each one of us, to bend down and be of service to one another. I want to refer to a few examples from the Bible. Okay, before I get over there, the love that I have been referring to, from Father to Jesus, from Jesus to me, and from me to others. This is something that I just shared with you. Now let's look at some of the examples of how people have been serving God. And the first one I want to refer to is from the Old Testament, Tobit's love for God. What did Tobit do? Verse 17 tells us, I would give my food to the hungry and my clothing to the naked. And if I saw the dead body of any of my people, I would bury it. Tobit love for God. He fed the hungry, he clothed the naked, and he even buried the dead of his clan. This was service to mankind from Tobit. Now look at a contrasting story from the New Testament. The rich man and Lazarus. It's a long passage. We all know the end result. What happened? Did the rich man go to Hades because of his riches? No. He had the resources, but they all ended up with him. He was tight-fisted. It did not flow out of him. Brothers and sisters, even to be rich, you need the blessings of God. Nobody can be rich on his own. You need the grace of God. But sadly, this rich man forgot about Lazarus. He did not see Lazarus who was lying at his door. And you know what happened. And he wrote out with his own hands, he wrote out his eternal permanent destination. The gospel reading a couple of Sundays back, Jesus asking Peter, do you love me, Peter? And what did Peter reply? Yes, Lord, I love you. Jesus asked him how many times? Three times. Wow, Peter, thank you so much. I'm feeling so good. It's so nice to hear from you that you love me so much. You know, I'm going through so much, but you love me. No, Jesus did not do those oohs and ahs, but Jesus said, Ja. Jesus said, Ja, go feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Surely Jesus did not want Peter to switch from fishing to farming. Jesus is not talking about that kind of sheep. He's talking about you and me, my dear brothers and sisters, to love one another through service. Look at this verse. It says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. How? If you have love for one another, it is not by putting a cross around our neck or by putting a tattoo about Jesus or wearing a t-shirt with a Bible quote that people will know that we are Christians. No. How will they know? When you have love one for another. Are we a building block or a road block? Sometime back, I met a lady and she said she knows so-and-so person. And I said, you must be knowing this person. I said, she said, yes, I know. And she is a terror. Now, when I speak to this lady, the lady says, I do everything that the Holy Spirit tells me. Holy Spirit and terror. Now, this is the person's weakness. I have my set of weaknesses. I'm aware, and I still continue in it. Are we a terror at home, in our workplace, or in our parish? Is this what you and I want to be remembered for? Are we a spoke of the wheel or are we a spoke in the wheel? The crab mentality to pull others down. Brothers and sisters, we are ambassadors, advertisements for Christ to a watching society. When we love as Christ loves us, it will make a difference. Not because I am or you are loving, because Christ is flowing into that person and he will make that perceptible difference. We are just instruments and channel. So this love has to flow from the Father to Jesus, from Jesus to me, and from me to others, to you and to me. Now, to make this teaching a little more quantitative, I draw from the parable of the talents. You have heard this parable of the talents. The man entrusted to one servant 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to the third one, he gave 1 and he left on a journey. When he returned, what did the one with the 5 give him? He gave him 10. The one with 2 gave him 4. But the other one with 1 gave him, returned that 1 which was given. So what did the master do? He praised the first 2. He praised, he said, fantastic, you have done wonderful. But what did he call the last one? You wicked and lazy servant, and had him cast to the outer darkness. I want to replace this word talent with the word grace. Brothers and sisters, each one of us has been given graces. When we abide in the vine, grace is flowing into us, and this grace has to be manifest as fruit through us. We call them the fruit of the Spirit, but if you take a closer look, they are actually service to one another. If you go to a customer service desk and the person over there just gives you a smile, what happens to you? You tell me, what happens to you? You return the smile, you feel light, you feel happy, you feel welcome, you feel good. And half your problems are solved there only with a smile. But if that person does otherwise, what would you do? Aray, what a khadus person I met today. Okay, what a khadus person I met. Jesus has brought a smile on our face. Yes or no, my dear brothers and sisters? Has Jesus brought a smile on your face or has he brought sadness? Yes, I can see some people putting their hands up. Jesus has brought a smile on our face. We in turn are to bring a smile on other people's faces. In simple words, my dear brothers and sisters, this love one another as I have loved you, if I have to tell you, is just giving a gentle smile. And I was looking for a picture, but I found only one like this. Okay, I wanted a picture of a vine with the branches and this, but it's okay. You can still understand it over here. This is a tree over here, which has smileys all over it. Can I see a smile on your face? You gotta become so serious. Okay, see a smile. Okay, see, I'm showing all the teeth. Okay, so you see, now which of the tree are you? To the left or to the right? Which one would you want to be? To the left or to the right? One which has no leaves and a grumpy face. As I said, just a smile will help the other person and make you more approachable. In this parable of the talents, we have 2 branches that reached out, okay, and they multiplied. They brought more souls to Jesus, if you were to say. They brought more souls to Jesus. But what did the other one do with the grace that he received? He hid it in the mud. In the final analysis, he also went to eternal mud. When you say outer darkness, he also went to into mud. So what are we doing with the graces Jesus has given to us? You and I have to ask and answer this question. Okay, how can we love one another? Okay, this is, you must be having this question. Now, how can we love one another? There are many ways we can reach out to others, lend a helping hand, care for others. As a guide, I would like to refer to the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. During the Year of Mercy, we shared quite a lot of on this. Mercy is one of the fruits of charity, which enables us to show love and compassion to those who are suffering in mind, body, soul, and spirit. So here we have the corporal works of mercy. You're quite familiar with it. Okay, look, are you there in any of these areas? Can you take, even if you are not so far, can you be a part of this program? Can you be a part of this? The second one, the spiritual works of mercy. Some of us, God has gifted us in a different direction about knowing the word, to reach out to others, to, you know, this is the area of the mind, heart, and soul where people are disturbed. Can we comfort the sorrowful? Can we counsel the doubtful? Can we share the word with others? Can we forgive all injuries? Pray for the living and the dead. This is intercession that is there. So you can find out where is the Lord leading you, calling you. Some of it will be short term. Some of it will be long term. It's a sustained act over a period of years. Okay. For years, you will probably till your death time, you will be serving in that particular area. After you have done good, do not expect an acknowledgement. I did it. You know, I should put my collar up. My name should be printed. My name should be announced. Okay. This is not. If this announcement, listen to this. If the announcement is made over here, be sure the announcement will not be made up over there. All you do after you have reached out to somebody is silence. Silence. That's all. Okay. So before I end with our key verse, I want to take the ending of the Mass. What does the priest say? The Mass is ended. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. So the Eucharist, that where we are nourished, where we abide with Jesus, where we have received the muscle and cell of Jesus, is not the end, but the beginning to bear fruit. That's, my dear brothers and sisters, what John 15 is all about. Let me close with our key verse for this evening. Love one another as I have loved you. Itna karo, bas. You have your ticket to heaven. Amen.